David Frost here, introducing three men who are going to solve some of life's little riddles in this week's edition of Pull the Other One. And they are Mr. Frank Carson, Mr. John Martin, and Mr. Ken Dodd.
How about that, Ken? A frosty welcome.
How true. How true. Our wise men will be wrestling with the world's great mishaps, like those which befell Australian writer Mr. Rob Walsh last year, when he set out to take his tomcat, Kenny, to the vet. The cat was in a small holdall, zipped up, so only its head poked out. Alas, when they got out of the taxi, Kenny didn't like the look of the vet, so he ripped open the zip and took off. Rob jumped back in the cab, shouted, "Follow that cat." But after wasting $15 on different cab fares, he had to give up and go home. Kenny had come home too, got there first. So Rob put him in a cardboard box with holes and set out once more, only to fail again. On seeing the vets, Kenny tore through the cardboard and escaped. Rob had wasted another $12 this time before he got home to find Kenny waiting. Rob then went to a pet shop and bought a cage for another $15. Kenny found a way to release the door within 5 minutes. Desperate, Rob rang the vet and asked what was the best way to deliver a tomcat. "Don't worry about that," said the vet. "For an extra $5, we come and collect him." Well, there you have that whole sad story. There'll be more sad stories, humorous stories, but now I'm only going to tell you half the stories, and the rest of it you're going to have to work out.
Mr. Davis, yes, can we say, Mr. Carson and I are very pleased to see young John Martin
back again,
occupying a seat on the show again, because after the last show, we both agreed he should be given the chair. Did you know, Mr. Frost, that this young man here, the government, well, he was on one of these work schemes, weren't you, John?
Yeah,
it's true, yes. Do you know, at one time, the government paid John Martin, £40 a week to study comedy. Is that right?
That's right.
What did you do with the money, John?
Yes, at one of these youth training schemes, it's funny you should bring that up, because I remember a young fellow who applied for a job here in London at the youth training center. And he was offered a job as a gynecologist.
A what?
A gynecologist. Mm. So the fellow said, "Well, there's a job in, all right, and you put the name down for it." So he said that when the ladies came in to be examined by the gynecologist, strip off all their clothes and hang their coats up and fold them up. He said, "Yeah." He said, "And then maybe they'd have to have a shower and you would blow dry their hair and dry their hair." "Sure, I could do that, all right." He said, "And sometimes the inside of their legs would have to." "Oh, she could do that, all right." He said, "Well, can you be in Luton at 7:30 on Tuesday?" He said, "I thought the job was in London." He said, "Yeah, but that's pretty heavy, the queue is."
John Martin's appearance here today is due to the present BBC policy of finding new faces for radio and new voices for television.
Do you know what, Frank? My brother used to be a gynecologist.
Right.
He wanted to be a brain surgeon, but he wasn't tall enough.
Well, that amazed me about the cat, you know, because I had a cat, and believe it or not, it played the piano.
Really?
Yes, and I took it to an agent. I said, "Just listen to this," and I opened up the lid, and the cat started to play Rachmaninoff's concerto in B-flat. And he said, "Who done that orchestration?" I said, "The cat." He said, "Well, we should have it orchestrated again." And we haven't seen the cat since.
Well, I must say, Mr. Frost, since I was on the show last week, I had some lovely letters. I got one here. I'll read you this one. "Dear John, you really made me smile last week. You were really funny, and I never stopped laughing once. My husband is away again next Tuesday, so if you'd like to..." No, we won't do that one.
I always like the lovely story of the two she-cats talking. And one said, "Don't look round now, but here's that terrible Tom coming. And all he talks about is his operation." When I get back, the same thing I'm talking about the vet. This friend of mine who's a horse trainer, and he's got a vet, and the horse is racing at Lingfield. And the trainer gave the horse a sugar lump. And the Duke of Norfolk came up, who was one of the trainers, said, "What did you do there?" He says, "Well, I just gave the horse a sugar lump." says, here, look, I'll take a sugar lump. He says, here you are, Your Grace. You take a sugar lump. And the both ate the sugar lumps. So then the jockey came over, he says to the jockey, listen, when you get about 2 furlongs from home, let the horse have its head. And if there's 2 things passes you, it'll be me and the Duke of Norfolk.
Then let's begin with Tall Tale number 1.
I think we should, Mr. Frost. We'll be here all night talking about operations.
We start with drama on the high seas. Chinese seaman Wan Chin was the sole survivor when his ship went down in the Timor Sea in 1938 and was rescued after 30 days adrift on a raft. He'd kept himself alive by catching rainwater in his shoe and by finding an unusual source of nourishment. What was one eating during his 30 days adrift? What do you think about this,
I don't say what it is, but it left him without a sausage. It's, it could have been Dial-A Pizza. Their logo is, we deliver anywhere.
Penguins! They're covered in chocolate.
Yeah, but the silver paper sticks in your throat.
Oh, did you have a cape on? Might have had a cape on.
I dreamt I was shipwrecked once. I dreamt I was shipwrecked on a desert island with Joan Collins, Linda Lusardi,
oh boy,
and Sophia Loren.
Can I come
a
with you?
A nightmare. I was Julie Andrews.
Well, that's obvious. I think that what was one eating during his 30 days adrift? Odor eaters. They're in his shoes.
The Chinese love to eat dogs.
Oh, I know that.
I went to a Chinese banquet once, and the main course cocked his leg up against the sauce bottle. In China, their idea of spotted dick is a Dalmatian in custard. Do you know that there are 80 million Changs in China alone? Yeah. I've checked them in the Yellow Pages. And if you eat too many bamboo shoots, you can end up with a cane bottom.
You know, there's no telephones in China.
Why is that?
There's so many wings and wongs, and people afraid of people ringing the wrong number. Oh.
This is a Chinese shipwreck.
Yeah.
This.
You ever notice when you go to a Chinese restaurant?
Yes.
The whole family comes out to watch you eating it.
I said to Frank Carson before, I said, where's the Irish C? He said, between the Irish B and the Irish D. My brother joined the Navy to see the world, and he spent 3 years in a submarine.
But if I was marooned on a desert island, the only boat I'd see would be a boat full of people trying to sell me double glazing.
Well, I was parking a Chinese restaurant the other day. There was a pile of rice outside. And I said, has there been a wedding here? He said, no, somebody knocked the stuffing out of the manager.
In the Bible, when they talk about shipwrecks, did you know that 5 days after Jonah, now remember Jonah in the Bible, 5 days after Jonah was swallowed by a whale, he was being battered in Harry Ramsden's chip shop in Yorkshire.
My mother's a terrible cook. My mum's a black belt in cookery. She can kill you with one chop. My mum makes chips with... She bought a tin of peas once, and it says on the label, boil separately. 12 hours we waited for those peas, huh?
There's been some terrible disasters at sea, hasn't there?
Oh,
but you've stopped doing the cruise ship cabarets now.
Well, I love the one that fell on the Titanic and he in the dining room. He said, I know I asked for ice, but this is ridiculous.
You know that half an hour after rescuing... Do you know that half an hour after rescuing a Chinese, most lifeboatmen feel like doing it again?
I think what happened here, Mr. Frost, is he bumped into Captain Bird's and ate a fish finger.
Not quite. What did happen here? How did he keep himself alive for 30 days?
What did he... the boat then?
did he eat little bits of metal and it could have been a staple diet? No.
He started eating the raft.
No, not quite. He, in fact, kept himself alive 30 days by eating his clothes. His clothes.
Yeah.
In those days, remember this was the Timor Sea in 1938.
That's right.
In those days, there were no man-made fibers. Yeah. The wool and the cotton one was wearing contained enough vegetable protein to keep him there.
He's got to make a nice sandwich. Some sort of vest casserole.
A long job sandwich. Oh, boy. Can you imagine finishing up with a trap door?
Some lady boys
spitting out the buttons.
Well, there you have it. That's really inspired them. And so we move on, therefore, to our next tall tale. Northern Texas last year experienced its worst flooding since 1908.
Yep.
Eventually, of course, the floods subsided, but the problems remained. And a sector that suffered most particularly was the area's flourishing nudist colonies. Indeed, the sun-blessed nature haven at Worthington had to remain closed all year. Why did nudist colonies find life difficult after the floods?
Well, I've just come back from Texas. I only popped in to place some wallpaper and ladders.
Yes, I remember saying to a fellow, he told me he was a nudist. I said, he says you've got 28 children. I said, you're not a nudist. He's just never had time to get dressed. I remember Murphy looking over at the wall of the nudist camp, and Casey said, what's all this? It's a nudist colony. He said, oh, what the heck? He says, they're all stiff. He said, are the men or women? He says, Jesus, how would I know? There's no clothes on.
My little Uncle Willie was the snooker champion of the nudist camp. He was the only one allowed to wear a waistcoat. That's the one thing they dread, you know, nudists, when they're running around in their pelts. The one thing a nudist dreads is a cold snap.
I remember going to a nudist camp once, and a fella, I enjoyed it, actually. It was lovely, the sun on your body. Beautiful in the cold air, and this fella passed me, and he had a brick around his neck. Are you chasing another nudist, a girl?
Well, why was he wearing a brick around his neck?
Well, apparently he caught her the last time he was being handicapped.
Frank was telling me about when he was at that nudist camp. He said he went to a disco there, and he got thrown out of the Okie Cokie competition. He kept putting it in when he should have been shaking it all about.
It must be a terrible thing to be a nudist now, you know, going around. You've got to go around saying to people, you know, we'll keep the change. nudist. Nudism must be the biggest turn-off in the world.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like knowing what the mystery prize is on Bullseye.
I saw a nude tennis match once. It was really strange. All the spectators' heads went up and down instead of side to side.
Texas, it always fascinates me.
Ken and I know all about freak weather. In Liverpool last week, the winds were so bad we had one chicken that laid the same egg four times.
Well, the greatest flood of all, you know, is in the Bible. The skies opened, the rain poured down, and Noah looked up and he said to his son, you know, I knew I shouldn't have washed the ark this morning.
Well, one of the worst floods I was in was in Balbriggan in County Dublin. And I was in the main street. And it was flooded, and I said to the fella, how deep is it over there? He said, I don't know, I'm standing on top of a bus. And then I knew another fella, and he said to Murphy, is that deep down there? He said, no, not at all. And he drove, and the next thing was the car disappeared, and he floated to the top 8 minutes later. I said, I thought you said it wasn't deep. He said, Jeffers, it only comes up halfway on the ducks.
Frank Carson actually met his wife at a nudist camp.
That's true.
He was very annoyed because she hadn't told him what she was doing. Frank once spent 6 months studying the nude female figure. Frank once spent 3 months studying the nude female figure, didn't he? Until she realized it and pulled the curtains off.
Yes, well, I remember doing a show in the nudist camp. They all came in together and they sat down. It was like a round of applause.
Trouble with taking all your clothes off, that gravity takes over.
Yes.
Why? Nudist colonies found life difficult after the floods. Is it because they had to wear Wellingtons and sou'westers?
No, that's not the reason, but why would it be such bad news for the nudist colonies about the floods? That's a good thought, but it's not
the solution.
I think
they might have to use umbrellas. And with the umbrellas, with the wind blowing, you have to hold them in front and destroy the whole idea of nudity. I hope you interrupt me here, because I'm not... Exactly.
The flooding brought plagues of mosquitoes. And these mosquitoes, they moved to the news camps, and all the mosquitoes were nudging them and saying, by Jove, lads, look at the chef's special today.
That is absolutely brilliant.
Ah, well,
that is correct. Do I get a point?
Absolute point.
Ken Dodd got it.
Miraculous, it was the mosquitoes. And in fact, they were so bad that the owners had to close down the doors of the nudist colony and they reopened it as a martial arts centre.
Oh, very good.
So you were absolutely brilliant there.
Well done, Doug.
Right, on to Agony Aunt's advice slot now, just for a moment from Tall Tales. Let's answer listeners' letters. Let's build a happier life for millions up and down our green and pleasant land with this plea from an anguished husband in Surrey. Dear David, I have terrible arguments with my wife about money. I simply can't get her to spend enough. As a bookmaker, I'm quite well off, but she's obsessed with saving. She feeds us offal and scrag ends and never buys herself makeup or new clothes. It's bad for my image, and sometimes I feel I'd rather be married to Joan Collins. How can I persuade my wife to spend? That is my desire.
If he wants to get her to spend a lot of money, send her to the BBC bar with Ken Dodd and Frank Carson.
I warned you.
I've had personal experience.
I used to be Joan Collins's toy boy.
I don't believe it.
I used to drive their Hornby train.
Bathory is not included.
She kept me in a box with their Barbie dolls.
Well, I wish that lady was like my wife. I lost my Barclay card a few weeks ago. I reported to the police. They said, well, why didn't you report it soon? I said, well, I was found it spending less than she is.
I think you can spoil women. You should never buy a woman a new dress, because the next thing you know, she wants to go out.
And I'll tell you another thing. If my wife goes anywhere, there's a price tag on her thing. She needs it.
My girlfriend spends that much a shopping trolley just had to have a 500-mile service. She brings more bills into the house than a member of parliament.
And he wants to get his wife to spend more money.
Yeah, I can't believe that. Because I'll tell you what, if my wife used her library card as much as she uses her credit card, she'd be the brainiest woman in Britain.
Does this lady, what does she look like?
Do you like to spend money, Ken?
It's like the lady next door to us. The other day, she had one of these mud packs, and she looked marvellous. For 3 days, then the mud fell off.
Do you like to spend money, Ken?
What? Took it around like a man with no hands.
Because Ken Dodd was telling me he can remember the first £5 note he ever aimed. He was only showing me it before.
Oh, yes, of course. Frank Carson is a very wealthy man, but you don't chuck it around, do you? You wouldn't, very modest. You could stand with him in a bar with him all night.
He won a holiday for two and went on his own twice.
Well, I have enough money to do this the rest of my life. It's when I spend that I'm in trouble.
You'll die tomorrow.
Frank, I'm not having a go at you. Ken Dodd's the one. He's had Doddy tattoos across his navel, so he wouldn't have to pay for the O.
She gives him scrag ends, and he goes, dear.
Scrag ends.
My auntie Nellie used to feed me Uncle Willie like a fighting cock. A handful of millet and some gravel.
I always remember, Mike, we used to have...
You should
have soup made out of the bones from a mother's corset.
But everybody knows you're a millionaire, Frank.
Of course.
And there's nothing wrong with putting something by for a rainy day, but you don't have to wait for a cloudburst, you know.
Well, I remember Mother sending out for me and said, I've got you a chicken dinner. It was a handful of corn.
I'm using it all in my act.
Right, one more query, and then we're on to the tall tales. This query is from Mr. Dale in Derbyshire. My wife and I plan to retire early. We'd like to run a country pub. The trouble is we have a teenage son and wonder if this is the right environment for him. Do you think it might be a bad influence, a country pub, or interfere with his homework? What's your advice, then, to Mr. Dale from Derbyshire?
I don't think living in a pub will interfere with the lad's homework. Well, he can always take her down to the cellar.
Well, I don't know. I would agree. I wouldn't take a pub at all because the lad's education is more important than a glass of beer.
Ah, yes, but
you know, you taking me now, if he goes in, I had a great night. My mother and father found a pub, and when I started to go to college, they left it because it was more important that the 3 R's were important to me, reading, writing, and algebra.
I remember when I was 14, I said to my dad, Dad, what does bad influence mean? He said, oh, just be quiet, just pour yourself another drink and deal the cards. See, I was never any good at school. That was my trouble. I used to think pi r squared was the school dinner. I thought trigonometry was the study of guns. My 3 worst subjects at school were mathematics and arithmetic.
Yes, but not so long ago, I went in for the Open University course, and I'm now studying, Mr. Frost, I think I told you for the show, I'm studying upholstery and aeronautics. So if you know anybody wants a 3-piece jumbo, give me a call.
I went to the Open University, but I had to pack it in. I got a stiff neck of the draft. most parents want their children to have, you know, what they never had. Their own place, and soon. See, children are a great comfort to you in your old age and help you to reach it quicker.
Well, when my boys and girls were teenagers, honest to God, I used to hate going up to their bedroom. Mm. You know, I was only looking for books. It looked like a Beirut look-alike contest.
I remember saying to Ken Dodd once, Ken, will you help me with my homework? He said, but that wouldn't be right. I said, no, but at least try.
The trouble is, you see, it's not just the children, the landlords. The landlords are getting younger today. And some landlords, they're not very experienced. I went into a pub and asked for a dry white, and he gave me a Beecham's powder.
I was in the same pub. I asked for some pork scratchings to give me a pig and a cheese grater.
I said to this landlord, I said, do you stock Foster's? He's just on the Piccadilly line.
Yeah, and I just hope he's... I hope this young lad's sober enough to do his homework.
Yeah, well, that's it, Frank. Drink can influence children.
Of course it can.
I know a girl guide leader who drinks that much. All the kids call her brown ale.
Well, basically, though, Frank says, Mr. Dale, then, that the education is what matters. Be careful about going to the country pub. He's being very responsible tonight, Frank. Right, on to tall tale number 4.
Yes.
A story from the States. When Craig and Mary Weston divorced in New York last year, it began as an amicable affair. They cheerfully agreed on the sale of their fifth floor penthouse and the division of the proceeds and all other assets except one. The one item they couldn't agree on resulted in a 10-month legal fight costing $80,000 and more before a judge ruled in Mary's favor. What was this one possession that caused such a bitter battle?
I think I know that one.
Neither of them wanted custody of the mother-in-law.
They both wanted custody of the tarantula.
No, I think that the big row developed there because they split the house in two and he got the outside.
They were both fighting for custody of the TV remote control.
No, they were both fighting for custody of the Cocker Spaniel.
Well, you very nearly got it there. In fact, it was the pet poodle.
Oh!
But it was dead.
The Western's possession, on which they couldn't agree, was Woofer, their pet poodle. So you were very close to it, the Cocker Spaniel. They claimed they needed Woofer on the pillow in order to sleep at night. But Judge Sherman Cole gave custody of the poodle to the wife, with the ex-husband given visiting rights.
Divorce is such a sad thing, isn't it? Especially if children are involved.
Yeah.
As I came into this theatre tonight, I saw a little boy crying. I said, what are you crying for? He said, my dad's fighting. I looked around the corner, saw two men fighting. I said, which one's your dad? He said, I don't know, that's what they're fighting over.
Right, well, that's another point to Frank Carson there for getting that one absolutely spot on.
I've just gone mad today.
You're really doing stupid.
2.5 points I have. Yeah.
My brother's getting married soon. He reckons it's an attraction of opposites. She's pregnant and he's not.
Finally, a story tonight from the River Biss in Trowbridge, Wiltshire. Yeah.
Yep.
Here, one day last summer, trout were seen swimming in ever-decreasing circles and occasionally rolling over on their backs.
Oh.
What was the cause of this fishy behaviour?
The trout knew it was the cricket season, so it was waiting for the tickle in the gully.
The trout were drunk. The trout were all drunk. The fish had been drinking like an Oliver Reed.
Why they been drinking?
I think Russ Abbott put a canned record into the river.
Were they doing a special dance for fish, the conga?
I saw a lake in Scotland. It was so crowded, the fish were swimming standing up.
I remember Murphy. Fish are clever. Yeah. Fish are clever. Fish talk. They all have names depending on what type of fish they are. I caught a salmon the other day, and he was talking to me. He said, we all have names because of our colour. He said, because I'm a salmon, they call me Rusty.
Oh.
He said, I've just come back from holiday. Just had a fortnight in the Titanic. He said, it's the best holiday he'd ever had. While he was there, he wrote a book all about poetry. And when he come back, he read the book out to all the other fish. And he called it The Titanic Verses by Salmon Rusty.
I remember went up in Donegal and there was a fellow fish and he kept throwing them back. I said, what are you doing that for? He said, they're too big for the pan.
I think this is probably the annual trout tickling contest.
Yes.
And in order to take part of the course, you have to have your city and guilds.
Not the course! That's good about the tickling trout, because there were two Irishmen up in Scotland and saw these two Scotsmen. One had the other by the legs over the bridge into the stream, and his hands in water tickling the trout, and suddenly a trout, and then next thing, a salmon. And he said, right, Mick, next bridge will come to you now over, get a load of salmon, clean up. Gets to the bridge and says, lower me over gently, Gilligan. 2 minutes later, pull me up, Mick. Have you caught a salmon, Brendan? He said, no, there's a train coming.
I was in a chip shop last night. I was in a fish and chip shop, and the girl said to me, Yannick, she said, do you want salt and vinegar? I said, yes, please. She said, do you want to put it on yourself? I said, no, because this is a clean shirt.
I was behind you in the queue, Ken. The woman said to him, the fish won't be long. He said, we'd better be fat then.
When, isn't it? When male ballet dancers go into a chip shop, do they ask for a codpiece?
That's funny, because I went into this shop and I said, I have a burger, and she lifted the burger and put it under her arm. I said, what are you doing that for? She says, I'm defrosting the burger. I said, well, cancel a black pudding.
Thank God he didn't finish it off with the donut one. You see, the thing about mixing with characters like these is that they are balmy, and they are crackers.
I want you to go back to your early beginnings in answering this